Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc. And those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. Hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip. Hip, two, three, four, hip.
Ah, yes. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Wake Up Call. And this Wake Up Call is... for the 25th, or what is this, the 26th, pardon me, I got my dates mixed up here, 26th of July, 2018, my desk is a mess, I'm working hard on the book of Ezekiel, getting it printed out, and I have stuff scattered all over, I'm really hitting it hard. But I have to take the time to do this sermon today, and Ezekiel has inspired me with some of the passages in here. The title of this sermon is Joy Over Repentance. Okay? The verses I am going to read you from the scriptures, I'm going to read from the Institute for Scripture Research Bible, the Scriptures, is the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verses 4 through 32. That's verse 4 through the end of the chapter 18. And I'm also going to, after I do that, quote the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 7 and 10. That will be Luke 15, verses 7 and 10. Let's get right into it here. I don't want to do the big thing about the website. Everybody knows my website. You know, you want to go there, that's fine. This sermon's on my heart, and I've really got to get it out. It's been coming on all morning, and I'm ready to let her go here. So I'm going to read these passages, and then I'm going to read in the book of Luke, and then I'm going to sermonize. I may do a little bit in between. You never can tell with me. Verse 4 of chapter 18 of the book of Ezekiel. This is Yahweh speaking. See, all beings are mine. The being of the Father as well as the being of the Son is mine. The being that is sinning shall die. Now let's stop right here. He was taking people out back then. I think he's starting to do it again. I think the days of wrath are coming and he's starting to call the herd. Verse 5. But if a man is righteous and shall do right ruling and righteousness. Okay. Verse 6. If he has not eaten on the mountains, okay, that concerns eating foods sacrificed to idols. Okay. Nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel. They were doing idol worship at that time in apostasy. Nor defiled his neighbor's wife, that's fornication and adultery, nor comes near a woman during her uncleanness, now that's her menstrual cycle, we're not supposed to have sex when she's on her cycle, she's unclean, okay, you're not supposed to do that. One of the laws. How many people obey that? Okay. Verse 7. If he does not oppress anyone, does return to the debtor his pledge, in other words, somebody owes him some money, and he gives him a pledge on the debt. When the debt's paid, he returns the pledge. Does not commit robbery. He's not going around whacking anybody in the head, taking their money. Does give his bread to the hungry and covers the naked with a garment. In other words, he's charitable to his fellow Israelites. This only concerns Israel, okay? Here's a biggie, verse 8. If he does not lend on interest or take increase, Israelites are not supposed to do usury. Okay, turns back his hand from unrighteousness, executes right ruling in truth between man and man. In other words, he's just. Verse 9, if he walks in my laws and he has guarded my right rulings in truth, he is righteous. He shall certainly live, declares the Master Yahweh. That's a characteristic of a righteous man. Okay. Verse 10. But if he has brought forth a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood who does any of these, verse 11, whereas he himself did not do any of these, that also he has eaten on the mountains or defiled his neighbor's wife, verse 12, If he is, this is the son, the wicked son. If he has oppressed the poor and needy, has committed robbery, he does not return a pledge, has lifted his eyes to the idols, or did abomination. There's lots of abominations, okay? Verse 13, if he has lent on interest or taken increase, shall he live? He shall not live. Okay? He's a sinner. If he dies, he dies in his sins, okay? Continuing on, verse 13. If he has done any of these abominations, he shall certainly die. And it says his blood is upon him. Well, that would be blood guilt, okay? They don't add the guilt, but it's implied. Let me get a little drink of coffee here. Boy, I needed that. And I'm supposed to be taking my morning pills, and I am so busy I forget all the time. So, glug. I'm taking my vitamins and the stuff from DIY, all the supplements. It's really fixed me up. Verse 14, but see, if he, that's the wicked son, okay, if he, that's the wicked son, has brought forth a son, another son, that's a grandson, okay, who sees all the sins which his father has done, but he fears and does not do likewise. Verse 15, this is the grandson, okay, has not eaten on the mountains, and has not lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel. He's not taking part in the apostasy. Has not defiled his neighbor's wife. Verse 16. Has not oppressed anyone, nor withheld a pledge, nor committed robbery. Has given his bread to the hungry, and covered the naked with a garment. He's charitable toward his people in Israel. He's taking care of his own people. Verse 17, turns back his hand from wronging the poor. In other words, his hand, his power from hurting people that are poor. And he has not taken interest or increase. Has executed my right rulings and walked in my laws. He shall not die for the crookedness of his father, he shall certainly live. What's he saying here? Okay. Everybody has to account for themselves, okay? Individual basis. Verse 18. His father, because he used oppression, robbed his brother, that's his racial kindred, okay, and did what is not good among his people, see, he shall die for his crookedness. Verse 19, and you said, why should the son not bear the crookedness of the father? They didn't get that. The whole family, you ought to hammer the whole family. No. That's not Yahweh's way. Okay. But the son, this is continuing in verse 19. But the son has done right ruling and righteousness. He has guarded all my laws, and he does them. He shall certainly live. All right. Verse 20. The being, that's the person, the being who sins shall die. The Son shall not bear the crookedness of the Father, nor the Father bear the crookedness of the Son. The righteous of the righteous, the righteousness, pardon me, of the righteous is upon himself, and the wrongness of the wrong is upon himself. All right, now, here's something new introduced into this passage. But the wrong, and you can reference Ezekiel 3, 18 through 21. That's 3, 18 through 21. And 33, 8 through 20. 33, 8 through 20. Okay. Those are similar passages. But the wrong, if he turns from all his sins which he has done, and he shall guard all my laws, in other words, he starts keeping the commandments, and shall do right ruling, that's justice, and righteousness, he shall certainly live, he shall not die. Verse 22. That's repentance, okay? All the transgressions which he has done shall not be remembered against him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Now, how did he do that? How did he manage that? Well, he would keep the sacrifices for his sin and all that stuff, because this is back up in the temple days when they would sacrifice for sin. This is pre-Yeshua Messiah. That was his bailout then. Okay, they would put off, they would propitiate his sins. Verse 23. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wrong? I mean, does he enjoy that? Declares the Master Yahweh. Is it not that he should turn from his ways and live? Okay. Repent, repent. Okay, that's what he's asking for. Verse 24 of chapter 18. But when a righteous one turns away from his righteousness and does unrighteousness, according to all the abominations that the wrong one has done, shall he live? All his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. For his trespass which he has committed, and for his sin which he had committed, for them he shall die. Okay. If you did a sin offering and you repented, but then you return to your wicked ways, you negated that sin offering, okay? That's going to be like somebody says, oh, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm born again. But then he goes out in the community and just does whatever he feels like. That puts the lie to the salvation process now, doesn't it? You're supposed to show fruits worthy of repentance. And if you are showing evil fruits, you're a fake and a phony and a liar. These so-called Christians go to church on Sunday, but then you see how they act. By their fruits you shall know them. I'm born again. Oh, really? But in your business, you are very dishonest and you cheat people. Well, all's fair in love, war, and business. Okay. Yeah, right, sure. You haven't read this book, have you? No, buddy. You just listened to Pastor Leibowitz on the pulpit and worship your Jewish Jesus. Verse 25 of chapter 18, and you said, he's speaking to Israel, the way of Yahweh is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? Verse 26. When a righteous one turns away, so-called righteous one, okay, turns away from his righteousness, which is basically a show in the public, and does unrighteousness, and he dies in it, it is because of his unrighteousness, which he has done, that he dies. Okay, he's a fake and a phony. What's going to be the punishment for these false pastors out here? Yahweh was taking people out back then, and I think he's doing it again. It's getting near the end time, folks. We're in the end times. And you're seeing more and more wrath. You're seeing people drop over. You're seeing a lot of these evil people be exposed. They're panicking. Their ways are getting more and more vicious toward the true believers. All right. Here we go again. Verse 27, this is the flip side of the coin. And when the wrong turns away from the wrong which he has done, and he does right ruling and righteousness, he keeps himself alive. Verse 28. Because he sees and turns away from all the transgressions which he has done, he shall certainly live and he shall not die. Yahweh won't kill him. Because he was in those days. I'm talking about the time of Ezekiel. He was cutting people off, which means they die. Verse 29. And the house of Israel have said, the way of Yahweh is not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Let's look at today. What is the general population of the house of Israel doing? Only the remnant, basically CI, are really trying to keep Yahweh and Yeshua's teachings. Because Yeshua did nothing but teach kingdom theology that we need to be obedient to the Father and keep his rulings and Torah, which are all common sense and all righteousness. Don't have to follow the Levitical priesthood sacrifices anymore, because Yeshua has ended that with the final perfect sacrifice. So it's even easier. We don't have to go through all that rigmarole and ritual, which was only putting the sin off, like in the days of Ezekiel, for 1 year till the next year's sacrifice. If we come under the new covenant with Yeshua and we stay in it and are faithful, we're covered. And he will stand between us and our former sins, and he will have covered them over permanently. They will never be seen again. But we have to stay the course. We cannot do what verse 26 says: when a righteous one turns away from his righteousness and does unrighteousness and he dies in it, it's because of his unrighteousness which he has done that he dies. If you turn away and backslide and by your actions deny Yeshua Messiah, and that's what you do when you sin deliberately and you know not to do things, you render that death, burial, and resurrection of no effect. This once saved, always saved nonsense is just that. It is nonsense. It does not hold true. Pardon me. Had the coffee go down the wrong pipe. Verse 30. Therefore I judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways. All right. Joe's not going to get judged by John's wrongdoing, and Bill's not going to get hammered for Peter's wrongdoing. Everybody's going to have to face the music for what they do, not what somebody else does. Same way with the Father and the Son. Each individual Israelite is going to be judged by his own actions. All right. Therefore I judge you, O house of Israel, this is verse 30, everyone according to his ways, declares the Master Yahweh, continuing on, repent and turn back from all your transgressions, and let not crookedness or sin be a stumbling block to you. All right. The law is going to be written on the hearts in the new covenant, okay? It mentions that right here. Verse 31 of chapter 18. Cast away from you all the transgressions by which you have transgressed, and make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Here's a big time statement right here. Now, I know a lot of people, oh, he's so wrathful, and he's scary, and all of that. This is Yahweh speaking. Verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, declares the Master Yahweh. So turn back and live. And that ends chapter 18 in that part of the quote. Now, I told you the title of this sermon is Joy Over Repentance. And Yahweh has told you clearly right here in Ezekiel, he has no joy over the death of a sinner. That doesn't, you know, make him happy. We're his children, Israelites. We are his children. He doesn't want to hurt us. He doesn't wish us ill. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 15. I gave you those verses earlier. Let's go to the book of Luke. Chapter 15. Verse 7, this is Yeshua speaking. Now, that he was talking about a lost sheep. Somebody lost a sheep. He's got a whole flock of sheep. He's got 100 sheep. And he leaves the 99 and goes searching for that lost sheep. Verse 7. I say to you that in the same way, you know, a lost sheep, there shall be more joy in the heaven over one sinner repenting. That's one sinner repenting. Than over 99 righteous ones who need no repentance. People that are following the law. Verse 10. Verse 10 of chapter 15 of Luke. I say to you, in the same way there is joy in the presence of the messengers of Elohim over one sinner repenting. Then Yahshua goes on in Luke in that chapter and gives the story of the prodigal son. And he took his inheritance and went out and just wasted it. Blew it, spent it, riotous living, wine, women, and song, and all. Unnecessary, frivolous, sinful things. And when his money was spent and there was problems, and he was employed by a man that sent him to his field to feed pigs. Unclean. And they were feeding pigs with some stuff, and he was eating the pig food. Then he asks himself, how many of my father's hired servants have plenty of bread to eat and to spare, and I'm dying of hunger? He says, I'm going to go back to my father and say, I've sinned against the heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Okay, that's verse 19 of chapter 17 of Luke, or chapter 15 of Luke, pardon me. Not 17, 15. So he went back to his dad, and his father saw him coming a long way off and was just thrilled and ran and hugged him and kissed him. And he repented of his ways. And he said, Father, I've sinned against the heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He realized that he was a sinner, okay, and a wastrel, and he did all these wicked things. He dishonored his father and his family. And the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And let's make a big feast. And verse 24 of chapter 15, because this son of mine was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to rejoice. Rejoice because he repented. Joy and repentance. The angels of Yahweh will be shouting Hosanna to the highest if a sinner comes home. Israelite comes back into the fold. Whew. And you wonder why we do these shows and why we do so much work. Because if it matters so much to our Father in heaven and to Yeshua HaMashiach about one sinner, we have to take the attitude that if all the preaching that we do, all the tales we tell, all the scripture verses we read, all the work that we do, reaches one, that brings joy. Joy, 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 joy. Because one of our brothers or sisters has come back to the Father. So if they're going to rejoice in heaven over this, how can we not, as servants of the Father, down here in this world, in these bodies, how can we not love our neighbor Israelite as ourselves? Well, we're commanded to do so. If we are believers and followers of the way, how can we not be happy? That sinner, no matter what he was doing, has repented and come back, because we were sinners too. And we still have to fight it every day. The greatest enemy we've got is the guy in the mirror. And it's very difficult to walk that straight and narrow path. We understand that. We're men too. I can't point fingers at anybody except the one in the mirror. I can give examples. I can quote scripture, but the judge is the scripture. Those rules will be the rules that we will be judged by. So we have to do our very, very best to try to stay within the parameters that we are given by Yahweh in His Word. And if we truly believe, we will tell others, because we are commanded to share this good news. You can't keep it to yourself. You can't hide a light under a bushel. Okay, can't put a basket over it. Won't give any light. If we've received the light, are we not to share the light? Well, we are. And there are consequences for that sometimes. We will be hated because of it, but they hated Yeshua before they hated me. The ones that hate us for telling the truth are the ones that hate our Messiah. Most of the ones that are the haters are the children of the devil. But they have hoodwinked and fooled and deceived a lot of our own people, and a lot of our own people revile their fellow Israelites when we speak the truth to them. They don't want to hear that truth. That truth is against their doctrine that they have been indoctrinated with, and it puts their comfort zone at risk, and they don't like that. That makes them very uncomfortable. Somebody might call them a name. Oh, surely not. You hang around with that guy. He's a racist. Are you a racist? I know. I mock them. I can't help it because they're so stupid. These libtards and the Talmudists, that rule their minds are stupid, and they're so blatantly wrong, and they will not admit it. They're stuck in their little world of illusions. So they put that hatred on us, and they convince other Israelites to hate on us too. Pardon me. So it's just one happy hatred. Everybody's happy being haters. And the only ones that have the right to hate is true Israel. We are to hate them with a righteous hatred, because Yahweh hates them with a righteous hatred. And if we follow the tenets of Yahweh and Yeshua, when Yeshua told them, "You are of your father, the devil, and your father's works you do," they went ballistic. They went nuts. They were going to kill him for telling the truth. And they did, but he was divine, and he fooled them, and he got up again. And they can never get over that. And they lie about it today. Oh, the lies they continue to tell. And the fables that they propagate through the Judeo-Christian churches. Man. Lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. And unfortunately, there are so many out there that don't want their little comfort zone disturbed. They don't want their boat rocked. So they'll go along with those lies. And they would harm us. They would take our lives and kill us all the day long and think they do God a service. Because we're wastists. Mm-hmm. But they haven't read the book. They haven't read that this book is of, by, and for, and to Israel only. It's not to anybody else. It's not a universalist book. It's to the true chosen people who are not the Edomites. The Edomites are not Israel. Herod was an Edomite. Judas Iscariot was an Edomite, the one that betrayed him. Edomites in our governments, Edomites in our churches, Edomites in the banks. Edomites in the military, Edomites, Edomites, Edomites. Read the book of Obadiah. That's Obadiah. And see what Yahweh has planned for Edom. Oh. Man. But that's racist. We need to get rid of that book. We shouldn't have that book in the Bible. We need to tear that out, because it's hateful and it's racist. And the Jewish Jesus wouldn't like it. Oh, boy. joy over repentance. All around, in true Israel. We follow the lead of the Master, and we have joy over repentance. But we find, if you read the book, you have to show fruits worthy of repentance. You're not going to buy your way into heaven. That's not what it's about. But if you want to come under the covenant, the new covenant, and you want to sign on to that program, okay, there are rules that go with that that you have to obey. You can't just say, oh, I believe, and then just keep living like you're living, because the devils believe and they tremble, but it doesn't make them less devils. Now does it? You have to change your life. You have to let the rules come into your life and follow them and read and study to show yourself approved. You can't just give lip service to it and expect redemption. It does not work like that. There are rules attached to the covenant. But if you willingly give it your all and try to obey those rules and ask for guidance and pray without ceasing, and do everything that you can in your life to be obedient to our Father Yahweh, it's your intent and your actions and your efforts that He's going to see, because if you are truly trying, He's going to know that. You can't fool Yahweh. You can't give it lip service. But if you're really working at it and you realize that you're frail and you fail occasionally, what did St. Paul say? I die daily. I'm the chiefest of sinners. I die daily. He dies to his sins each day in prayer. Follow that lead. Okay? The preachers are not going to point fingers at you and you're going to hell because you did this. You ate a hot dog that had pork in it. You're going to hell. That's not going to send you to hell. It may give you indigestion. It may hurt your health. But if you didn't know you had pork in it, well, if you do know it has pork in it, and you know you're not supposed to eat it, and you eat it anyway, well, you're commanded not to. What part of thou shalt not do you not understand? I mean, that's pretty plain. You shall not. Well, hey. You know, this isn't a little game that you can jump in and jump out and you can play it for a while and disregard it later when it's convenient. This is divine stuff here. It's not earthly stuff. It's not a stupid video game or a party game. It's not a social club where you can miss some meetings and I get a little bored with this righteousness business. Oh, really? Uh, I guess the seriousness of eternal life or eternal destruction hasn't sunk in. But the eternal destruction and the disobedience is not going to make Yahweh happy. He's not going to get any joy over your destruction. It's going to grieve him. It's going to grieve the Messiah, and it's going to grieve the true pastors that see people of Israel going down the path, the broad path of destruction. That doesn't make us happy. Doesn't make us happy at all. There's no joy in that. But if you turn from that and you come back and you truly try to be obedient to the Father Yahweh, that brings joy. We would have joy over your repentance. That's a wonderful thing. And that'll end the sermon for today. I'll play the bumper music, the outro, and then maybe a country song. Let's see what we've got here. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and I'll catch you on the next show. Praise Yahweh.
Lift, lift, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip. Hip, 2, 3, 4, hip.
Here I lay up on my dying pillow. Round my bed I see those tear-dimmed eyes. They are watching the saddest thing that can happen. They're seeing a sinner as he dies. Me. Flames me, no one said.